Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. You glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? Amen. Well, it's so good to see you. Amen. Good morning, everybody. We're just so blessed that you could be with us here. Praise God. Like Pastor Brad said, you didn't let a winter weather advisory stop you from being in the house of God. Hallelujah. It's so good to see you. We just welcome our first-time guests again. It's so good to see new faces with us all the time. We welcome you. We appreciate you. We're so glad to have you here today. We hope that you find Family Church a warm and welcoming place. Of course, church, that's your job. That's your ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. For those of you that are visiting today for the first time, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor. And we just know that God's got an awesome plan for your life. It says so over there in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. He's got something good in store for your life. Amen. Amen. And our job is just to report on that, right? Your job and my job is to believe it, right? Amen. Praise God. God says all things are done through faith. So we know that we have to believe what he says. Praise God. But he's got a good plan for you. The Bible says over there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. Right? The Bible says over there in James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above and descends from the Father of lights, in whom there's no darkness nor shadow of turning. Right? Glory to God. There's no darkness in God. Right? Isn't that what it says over there? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, this is the message that we've heard from the beginning, that in him there is no darkness at all. There's no evil in God, right? You know, some people have a religious idea that God is kind of treating us like lab rats, kind of putting us through hardships deliberately just to see if we'll manage. No, God is not the author of our hardships. He's the solution. He's our help. He's our strength, right? Amen. So we want to tell you all about it in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And so we're just glad to have new faces with us all the time. If you're looking for a place to call home, a church family, we'd love to be your church family. I'd love to be your pastor. It'd be a great honor. And we'd just be thrilled to have you here, you know, because the only thing better than having you here today one time is we have you here next week, right? And then, of course, all the time. So we just welcome you. Praise the Lord. You ready for the Word of God here today? Turn in your Bibles over to Deuteronomy chapter 15, and then we're going to go right over to Ephesians chapter 6, so if you want to get that ready as well. Today I'm going to call this message, Relationships and the Favor of God. Hallelujah. We're going to see today, how many of you want God's favor active in your life? Now if you're here and you're not sure what God's favor is, we're going to teach on that. We're going to show you what it is, but the favor of God is just real simply God's benevolent, favorable acts in your behalf. God wants to move on your behalf. If you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, his favor already belongs to you. It's yours. He's granted you that. Amen. But there's certain things that will cause his favor to operate in your life. And I'll tell you what, it all begins with how we conduct ourselves with relationships. You know, over the last few services, I've been teaching along the line. We started by looking at the year of Jubilee and teaching how relationships and how we handle finances affect our how they affect our life, how they affect our relationship with God, right? And I made the illustration, it's like a triangle with God at the top, right? Relationships in one corner, and then our financial handling in another corner, right? Because we saw over there, we're going to read it in Deuteronomy 15, but we saw over there that every 50th year in Israel, God called it the year of Jubilee. And in this 50th year, he would release people from all of their debt, their financial debt. If they'd lost houses due to bad credit, they got them back. If they had to sell themselves into servitude to someone because they were in such financial crisis, that they would be released. That was what Israel was called, you know, in Israel, that was called slavery, not the American slave trade. It was called slavery because people would fall into such financial hard times that the only way to pay back their debt was to work for that individual, right? And they'd have to stay there and work toilsome hours and all these things for years on end. But every 50th year, people would be released. Their debts would be canceled. Property would be returned, houses would be returned, right? They get to return to their family. Glory to God. And God did this every 50 years for two main reasons. Number one, to prevent debt from crushing his people. How many of you know debt is a crushing force that drives people to have misconduct in their marriages and other relationships? When people are under financial pressure, they don't act right. And God knew that financial burden would destroy Israel if he didn't put something in place to cancel debt.
Right.
Imagine if we had a year of Jubilee in America every 50 years, where all debts were canceled, houses were returned, repossessed cars and properties were returned. Imagine that, right? Then obviously the banks wouldn't be running the show as much as they are. Well, Deuteronomy 15, just for a matter of sake of review, talks about this. And we'll start in verse 1. I wasn't planning on going here, but I think for the sake of review, I think we should go over what we've been talking about. It says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall make a release. Everyone say release.
Release.
Praise the Lord. He says, and this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lends anything to his neighbor shall release it. Glory to God. If you lent money to somebody, it could be a friend, it could be a major credit lending. It said, at the time of this year Jubilee, if you've lent money and they owe you money, release it.
Right.
Don't exact it or require them to pay it back. It says, you shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Have you ever seen that in the Bible before, where God has something he calls the Lord's release? And it was a release of financial pressure and debt burden?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. And notice he says in verse 2, he says, he shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother. Talking about the closest relationships that they had in their life. All right? Now we keep reading in verse 3. He says, of a foreigner you may exact it again or require it to be paid back. He says, but that which is yours with your brother... With your brother, thy hand shall release. So notice it was a matter of close personal relationships.
Yes.
He says, if you have any financial debt or if you've done any lending with your closest associations, let it go.
Right.
Because God is interested in keeping those relationships restored. And we're going to see today why God is so careful that we manage our relationships well. Because his blessing will not move into our life without it. Amen. But this is just a matter of review. In verse 4, God says, except or save, he says, except when there shall be no poor among you. Wow. For the Lord shall greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Notice what was the motivation behind God's plan. To eliminate poverty.
That's right.
That there would be no more poor people in the land. Not that God was attacking people who are poor. He was bringing up people who are poor and giving them a better standard of living.
That's right. Yes.
Isn't it good to know that God so greatly cares for the human race? He not only provided the means for us to be spiritually saved, but he also provided the means to be released from financial burden, crushing financial debts. In order to restore our relationships one with another. So notice that this was a twofold thing. He didn't want us crushed with burdensome debt, and he didn't want our immediate relationships to be hindered. Oh, come on now. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Relationships and the favor of God, right? The Lord's release, restoring finances and personal relationships. This is exactly what God wants to do. He's always wanted to do that. See that our personal relationships are cared for, and also that we learn how to be good stewards financially. Praise the Lord. This is why so many people aren't prospering. They're not valuing relationships. Money has become more important to them than people. People are more important than the money. People are holding grudges and past hurts and offenses. They're in the way. They're blocking the blessing of God from getting to you because you're offended with somebody. There's something that hasn't been amended in a relationship. And I'll tell you what, if you're going to walk in God's best in 2014, it is going to require that you restore every relationship in your life. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to like you, because they're not going to. But at least you've done your part to apologize.
Right, yeah.
You've done your part to be humble, right? You've done your part to restore and to make amends. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start looking at this specifically about relationships. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, some of you, you say hurtful things to people. You know, you don't care. You know, and you don't have kind affection towards one another. I'll tell you what, it's going to cost you financially. It's not just going to hurt your spiritual walk, which it will do that, but it'll also hurt your financial situation as well. Let me show you this. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 12, and we're going to start kind of getting some idea of why relationships are so important. Praise God. Yeah. All right. Verse 11, it says this. Paul's telling the church, he's telling us as well. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The word wiles there, it means schemes, methods, or plans. Right? How many of you know the devil has schemes? He has methods of trying to hurt your life. Right? Now look at verse 12. He says, "For," or that word means because. It says, "Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, verse 12 is giving us a look at the demonic hierarchy that Satan has. How many of you know there's different ranks of demons? And that's what he's talking about. He says, first of all, there's principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are different, those are four different classes of demons that the Bible is telling us about. Now, I'm not going to slow down and get into a demonology class or anything right here, but look at the first part of that verse. It says, "Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Right. Wow. Here's a point that we have to understand. People are not our problem. Yeah. People are not our problem. People are not the contest that we face on a daily basis. Your contest in this life isn't against people. Oh, come on now. Amen. The people that are troubling you or are harassing you, they are not acting alone. Do you understand that in the fact of the matter is that there is another realm. There is the realm of the unseen. Right? There are beings, there are personalities in the unseen realm that are pushing on people and influencing them. If you're here and you don't think that the devil's real, well, then you got a big problem. He's already got you deceived. You don't think that there's any such things as demonic personalities that are pressuring people and motivating them? You're deceived. Yeah. Don't be deceived. There is an unseen realm. I like the Living Bible. It says, we don't wrestle against those with bodies. We wrestle with those persons that don't have bodies. Right. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah. See, we think it's the people that are in a natural body that are our problem. They're our obstacles. They're not. Right. They're not our issue. And see, your relationships will never be right until you understand that people aren't your issue. Good. See, this is why you can be merciful to people. This is why you can be patient with people, because you have a spiritual understanding. Listen, they're treating me that way. They're acting that way because they're being motivated by something they can't see and understand. I know it's not them that has a problem with me. I know it's the devil that's got a problem with me. They don't even realize that they're acting out and lashing out that way. The devil just found somebody with an unrenewed mind. He found someone to tempt and pressure them in the flesh. He found somebody to stir them up against me and against you, so therefore I can be merciful to this person.
That's good. Very good.
Come on now. Now, don't notice verse 11 tells us that we will be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Notice the number one plan that the enemy has against you, to stir up people against you, and then he hides behind them. So you get your attention on them and not on him. Right? Isn't that the wiles of the devil? Isn't that his plan? The adversary is not a person, right? This is his main method, to stir someone up against you and to hide behind them. to convince you that the issue lies with a person, right? People aren't acting alone. All right, I'm going to give you two reasons why the devil does this. Are you ready? Because the devil has got to get us to have wrong contact or interactions with personal relationships before he can advance into our life. Let me show you this. Number one reason why Satan would try to get you to put your attention on somebody else and think they're the problem is, number one, authority doesn't work on people. Authority doesn't work on people. See, what happens is when you think, oh my goodness, this person at work or this person in my family or this person at church, you know, they said this to me, they did that, you know, they're just on my last nerve, I'm had up with them, they're just a such and such and a so and so and a blankety blank. I hope you're not saying that, but people do, and you know, they say these things, right? See, now you have gotten your attention on flesh and blood, and now your authority over the devil does not work on people. You cannot command in the name of Jesus that so-and-so stops hindering you. Wives, you wish you could do that with your husbands. You wish you could say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over my husband and command him to do what I said. Doesn't work. Guys, you can't do that with your wives either, right? You can't go into, you know, the spiritual realm, or you can't go into prayer and say, in the name of Jesus, I command so-and-so to stop doing this. You can't. No. Because authority does not work over human wills.
That's right.
You cannot use your authority, your spiritual authority, the authority that Christ gave you, you can't use it over people.
That's right.
No matter how much you tell someone to stop saying that about you, it might not work.
Right. That's right.
Right? No matter how much you want someone to stop ridiculing you or insulting you, it might not work.
Right.
No matter how much you want someone to stop annoying you, if you just say, hey, stop doing that, it just won't work. Right? Because people aren't what they are in their flesh. They are what they are because of something in the spiritual realm motivating them.
Sure. Yes.
People won't change until the spirit behind them is dealt with.
Good help. That's good help.
Come on, get a hold of this. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to turn over there, but can we bring up what Jesus said in Luke 10:19? Look what Jesus said in Luke 10:19. He told this to the 70 that he sent out. This is also a promise to you and I. He said, behold, I give unto you power. The word power in the Greek is the Greek word for authority.
Yes.
I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, how many of you know Jesus is not talking about little critters in the desert?
No.
Right? I know you like to step on spiders and do all that stuff. That's fine. You have fun doing that. But he's talking about taking authority over demonic personalities.
Yes.
He says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy.
That's right.
That's Satan. And nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Yes.
So telling us that the enemy's goal is to hurt us.
Oh, yes.
The enemy's goal is to hurt us. And the authority that he has given to us is to prevent the enemy from hurting our lives.
Right.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Notice your authority works over demonic personalities, but not human beings.
Right.
It does not work on human beings. You will never be able to use the authority that Jesus is talking about to deal with a person personally, okay?
Right.
For instance, here's a difference. If somebody is harassing you, I don't mean they just have a personality you don't like. Listen, you're just going to have to be patient and nice, right? You put up with me, I put up with you, right? I mean, there's always going to be that kind of thing. But I mean, if there is a downright attack, I mean that they are harassing you. You know, sometimes and many times there's a spirit behind that.
Right.
And you can't go in prayer and say, I take authority in Jesus' name over so-and-so. No, but you can go into prayer and say, I take authority over that foul spirit that is harassing me, and I command it to desist in its maneuvers against me in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
You can use your authority that way and deal with issues spiritually that way, but you cannot rule over them personally. Do you understand the difference? Yeah. Because authority doesn't work on people. Satan knows that we have authority over him.
Yes.
And so if he can hide behind somebody else and push them out front, and next thing you know, we start strifing with them, we start fighting with them, trying to win an argument over them, now we are using authority on a realm that does not work. He has now gotten us distracted,
right?
He has now sent the diversion.
There you go.
You know what a diversion is? A diversion is a military tactic where they will send some soldiers, you know, over in one part of the battlefield, and you know they'll make a big ruckus over there, and they'll try to draw the enemy in that direction, and then the army comes in from the other side.
Right.
That's a diversion.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the enemy is doing when he stirs up people against you. He is creating a diversion so you will take your attention off from him. He's your adversary. He's your problem.
Right.
Therefore, you can be merciful to people.
Yes.
You can be patient with people because you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. They're not acting alone. Come on now. The second reason why Satan would try to use this method to stir up people against you is because, secondly, strife opens the door for him. Strife opens the door. The word strife just means contention. It means argument, right? Fighting. Disagreement, okay? Strife opens the door to Satan. Go with me to hold your place there in Ephesians chapter 6 and go over to James chapter 3. I will have you turn here. Go to James chapter 3 and we're going to go to verse 16. Praise the Lord. If you deal with the spirit behind the person will change. This, I'll tell you what, this will help you understand if you're raising children and they're being tempted to go another way. Come on, this is what people, they don't understand. You know, they start getting older or whatever and they start getting ideas, and of course the devil's going to attack young people. A parent who is spiritually discerning will have an understanding that they'll go and they'll say, in Jesus' name I command that foul spirit that is working against my son, working against my daughter, tempting my son and daughter to go into this lifestyle, that lifestyle. You get your hands off in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Instead of going to your child and trying to beat them up with an argument, you won't win.
Right.
Because they're being motivated by something that you don't see.
Right.
Come on. We have to understand, you, if you want to change a situation, you've got to deal with the spirit against it. And I've learned this, that when there is attack and harassment against me as a pastor or against this church, I've realized this, that every time there is a spirit behind that.
Right.
You know, when there was people, you know, when we were building this building and we had a town hall meeting, and there were people there that came up, I mean, it didn't even affect their life. Had nothing to do with them. They just came up, red face, gritting teeth, laser beams shooting out of their eyes. You know, they came up, and this one guy, he's put his finger right in my face and said, what kind of pastor are you? Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's just stirred up. I mean, I'm just standing there and I'm putting my flesh under. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, if he keeps going, I'm going to feed him that finger.
Yeah.
I'm going to feed it to him if he doesn't stop this. But that's his way. Okay, I know you never had any carnal thoughts. I'm thinking, he's about to lose that finger.
Yeah.
Actually, I just won't stop there. I'll just take the whole arm while I'm at it. That's with your carnal mind. How many of you know that's not the love of God? So I'm just sitting there, you know, and I understand. I start to understand. Actually, compassion starts to raise up in me and realizing, my goodness, this is sad. That's not personal. He's being stirred up by an unseen force because he hates the Jesus that lives in me. So I can be merciful. I can be compassionate. Lord, that's why Jesus said, bless those that hate you and despitefully use you. You can do that.
Right.
Because you understand that their hate for you is not motivated because of you.
Right.
It's because of the Jesus that you represent.
Yeah.
You understand this? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And now we go over here to James 3:16. We're looking at the second reason, because strife opens the door to the devil.
Yes.
You know? How many of you know, I mean, I'm not a real scientist. I never was that good in science. But I know this, that in a thunderstorm, how many of you know that warm and cold air move together? And literally those cold air and warm air masses, they rub together and they start producing friction. And basically what thunder and lightning is basically, it's like a static charge. That's a result of storm forces rubbing, you know, on each other, and that friction causes up. It's kind of like when you scuff your foot along a, you know, a furry carpet or something like that, and then you touch somebody, zap! Why? Because that was all built up. There was power was released when there was friction, all right? The devil knows that if he's going to get any of his power, he doesn't have any real power, but you understand. If he's going to get his influence into your life, he's got to cause friction.
Sure.
He's got to get a buildup. What is that? What is that friction? What are those clouds rubbing together? Those cold, warm air masses rubbing together? It's creating an atmosphere for that kind of influence.
Yeah.
Right? Watch this. James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, fighting, jealousy, bad relationships, arguments, strifing, fighting, swearing, cussing, slamming doors, not talking to each other, silent treatments, sleeping in the doghouse." You sleep on the couch tonight. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm not saying that just to save face with my wife. I'm saying that because that's true. In over 10 years of marriage, I've never had anywhere close to that kind of issue in our home because we learned these things before we got married. Hallelujah. "For where envying and strife, fighting, argument is, there is confusion in every evil work." Just like you could say it scientifically, for where cold and warm air come together, there is a release of thunder and lightning. Because there is an atmosphere being created in your fights. You're charging the air around you.
That's right.
And now the devil can go in. Just like it in a storm, it creates an atmosphere where lightning can strike.
Yes.
So in the same way, now you're creating an atmosphere where the devil can strike. Right? For where envying is, the term where, you could say it this way, for where the atmosphere is filled with envy and strife.
Sure.
Yeah. People that are filled, their lives are filled with drama.
Oh.
Oh. Come on, some of you just live day to day from one drama to the next. You know, what so-and-so said, it's like, it almost like drives your life. Forget that. I mean, why do you want to live with drama? I'll tell you what, get free from that. Get free from being a person of drama all the time and what so-and-so said and what they did. Who cares? Well, obviously, when you do, the devil wants you to care. For where envying and strife is, you could say it this way, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and the devil has entrance. Right? For where you fight and argue, the devil can get in and hurt. Notice it says every evil work. Notice that when there's arguments and fighting, the devil has free flow. Wow. Now we think about where the Bible has told us what gives God free flow. Rejoicing, praising, agreement, one accord, peace, just causes God to flow in. The Bible says when the righteous do rejoice, there is great glory, meaning that God is free to move in that environment. The Bible says in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, one accord. Right? They're one heart, one mind. And it says, "And there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the place, and cloven tongues of fire set upon each of their heads," right? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. See, basically God's power fell in that place because they created an environment. And in the same way, the devil needs an environment. It's called strife, arguing, fighting, dissension, discord, disagreement, relationships.
Oh, yeah.
If you aren't, you know, strifing with somebody, the devil can't work in your life.
Amen.
Do you know why lightning can't strike on a beautiful sunny day? Because there's not an atmosphere for it.
Right.
You don't walk out on a 75 degree, perfectly sunny day, you know, low humidity. You don't walk out and think, "I might get hit with lightning today." Can't happen. It's impossible because the environment isn't prepared for that. But if the environment is prepared, it can happen, right? You can look out and you can judge the sign of a storm. You can see dark clouds coming. You can feel a temperature change. You can feel the wind shift. You know that feeling? You know what I mean? You'd step out and you say, I know there's something in the air. I could get hurt to, you know what I mean? Just saying, that environment's there if you don't take some sensible precaution.
Yeah.
Just be sensible. You obviously don't go and stand out in the middle of a cornfield with a 40-foot tall steel post and say, I'm going to prove how faithful I am. I'm going to show you my faith. No, you don't do that because you take sensible precaution.
That's right.
In the same way, when you start strifing and fighting, I mean, you can sense it. I'll tell you what, my goodness. I mean, the moment my wife and I have a disagreement or something, or maybe I said something sharp because she never does. If it's anybody, it's me. And I'm just telling on myself, if that's all right, you just sense it on the inside. It's like, ooh, that's wrong. I better take precautions.
Yeah.
I better make this right. I better diffuse this thing before it hurts somebody. Come on now. Amen. Praise God. All right, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Every evil work. Is poverty an evil work?
Yes
it is. Does Satan want you broke?
Oh, yeah.
Of course he does. If you're broke, you're not going to fund a place like this where people's souls are getting saved.
No,
or another church or a missionary or wherever.
Right?
You know, is sickness an evil work?
Yes
it is. Doesn't mean the person is evil. We're talking about Satan wants to make humanity sick.
Sure.
He wants to make humanity sick. He wants humanity poor. Is depression and anxiety an evil work?
Yes
it is. Does he want to make humanity discouraged and depressed and filled with mental disease? Of course he does.
Sure.
That's his plan, to hurt humanity, right? But notice every evil work, addictions, right? Wrong lifestyles, all of it. Every evil work is completely possible in an environment where there's strifing and fighting. Every evil work. Come on now. And the devil understands. He's like, he's just pushing people out in front of you, getting you to have strife with them so you'll build up that charge. Now he says, okay, now I can come in and move because they took the bait. They took the bait. They fought with flesh and blood. They weren't merciful. They thought the person was the problem. Now I can create an explosion around their life. Getting a hold of this? All right, now go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Now we're going to start looking how the favor of God comes into this. You getting some help here today?
Yes.
You got to understand, how many of you want to prosper God's way?
Yes. Amen.
Half of you, wonderful. Great. I mean, why not lift your hand at something like that? Now I know some of you are turning in your Bibles and some of you would never lift your hand no matter what I say. How many of you, raise your hand if you would never raise your hand if I said anything? Glory. All right, here we go. Proverbs chapter 3. Now we're going to read the first four verses here. And now we're going to start to look how relationships are connected to God's favor.
Yes.
God's favor. My goodness. How many of you want to prosper God's way? All right, still half of you only. What a great time to say, God, yes, I want to prosper your way.
Yeah.
Say, well, I don't know if it's God's will for me to prosper. Actually, religion taught me that I shouldn't prosper. Okay, well, let's just take a little time out. All right, how about Psalm chapter 1, verse 1? You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, right? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he medicate. That is actually true. The Bible says his word is like medicine. Hey, I'm going to use that. Don't take that from me. I thought of that. That was on purpose. In his law, or is in his word, does he meditate day and night? It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf shall not wither, but shall produce fruit in his season, and everything he does shall prosper. That's what God says about you, right?
Yes.
praise the Lord. How about over there? What was it? Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad, those that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And how much more his children, right? Proverbs 10, 22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow. People say, oh, there's that word rich. He's talking about being like a rock star rich. Or no, I'm taught the word rich means well supplied. Well supplied, right? We quoted it today, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my needs by his riches in glory. Do you need to be out? Is being out of debt a need? Yeah. Yeah, you need to be out of debt. Do you need to be healthy?
Yeah.
Do you need to have peace of mind?
Yes.
God will supply every need, spirit, soul, and body. So if you get thinking, well, prosperity isn't God's will, well, I just quoted you several verses that tell you that it is. How about Deuteronomy 8:18? It says, for it is he, God, that gives you power to get wealth. What did David say at the dedication of Solomon's temple? For Lord, riches and honor are of thee.
That's right.
God. God supplies. He provides. I'll tell you what, you have no idea how good God wants us to have it. People say, well, God doesn't care about our standard of living. Yes, he does. He's got a higher thought in his mind for your standard of living than you ever could have thought for yourself. But it's his way. His way means it's not money first. His way is people first. The world's way is money first. God's way is joy first, peace first. See, the world thinks that money makes you happy. No, God says, get happy and money will come to you.
That's right.
Come on now. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now let's know what the commandments or the word of God, let's see what it does for us. For length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Amen.
So God wants you to live long, healthy, and strong. That's the plan of God for your life. Let not mercy... Oh, now, here we go. Now we're talking about relationships. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So shall you find favor... Everyone say favor. And good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, just for the fun of it, drop down to verses 9 and 10. We might as well read that, too, because it goes to prove what I'm talking about. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase or your income. Uh-oh. There's that money-minded preacher again. There he goes. No, I'm just telling you what God said. Verse 10, so shall your barns be filled with plenty. Oh, wait. When you honor God, what is the result? Plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, so we see now what he's talking about when he says favor. All right. Now, let's go back down there to verses 3 and 4. We're gonna focus on this, all right? Notice it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Okay? These are two principles that must be absolutely important to you if you're going to walk into verse 4 where the favor is, okay? The word mercy also means gracious. The word mercy means gracious, loyalty, without judgment, not passing sentence. Wow. Or it literally means treating them better than they deserve. Aren't you glad that God treats us better than we deserve? Praise the Lord. Makes me think of Brother Kevin Durant, doesn't he? He preaches a message called that. And now we go down to the word truth. It says, let not mercy, loyalty, graciousness. It's talking about how you treat people.
Yes.
It's talking in how you come into contact with people.
Yes.
Okay? All glory to God. And the word truth here, it means faithfulness. Right? Faithfulness. Or basically this, that people are safe with you even when they aren't around. That you're faithful to people. You're true to them. Meaning you're not going to talk junk behind their back when they're gone. Right? Praise the Lord. So let not mercy, graciousness, actually the Revised Standard Version translate this scripture this way. Let not loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. He's talking about how you conduct yourself with relationships, isn't he? All right. He says, bind them about your neck. See, if you were Jewish in those days, you would understand what that meant. See, they had this thing back in the Old Testament, and actually in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and so on, they'd wear these things called phylacteries. And in the full Jewish dress, they would have these things around their neck, and they would have different, stitching in them. What's the, embroidery that would be put in them, and maybe there would be different colors that would represent different things. There might be different verses or phrases, and as they wore them around their neck, it was a constant reminder of their relationship and their dedication to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's what he's talking about. He said, wear them around your neck, and they wore those, and they displayed them as something that was, it was so important to their life, okay? That's what he's saying. He says, let mercy be so important to you that you hang it around your neck. You're reminded of it daily. Okay? He says, and not only just mercy, but also faithfulness. Faithfulness to people. Come on now. Be faithful to them. Glory to God. Be true to them. Don't have an agenda against them. Right? And now look what verse 4 says. So shall you find favor in good understanding in the sight of God and man. Yes. Notice you don't just need favor with God. You need favor with people.
Yes.
Oh, come on, get a hold of this, somebody. Yes. All right, two things that come as a result of good relationships. All right? Now, of course, when strife is there and that friction is caused with strife and argument, notice it creates, obviously James said it creates an environment where every evil work. But notice that when it's mercy, graciousness, kindness, right? Not passing judgment, being faithful to people. Notice it starts to create an environment where God can work.
Amen.
And there's two things that this scripture tells us that we get as a result of being faithful, true, merciful, and gracious, and so on. It says that we get favor and good understanding. Favor and good understanding. Two things that you need in this life. The word favor literally means unexpected blessing. It means acts of kindness. How many of you want God to all of a sudden just perform acts of kindness in your life? What is it when you get an unexpected promotion at your job? What is it? Favor. What is it when you get an unexpected inheritance? Favor. What is it when you get a promotion or a pay raise? Favor. What is when your employer or whatever starts to entrust you with more responsibility? Favor.
That's right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's favor.
Amen.
Amen. What is it when you walk onto the car lot and you buy a vehicle for $3,000 less than everyone else paid? What is that?
Favor.
Yes. Glory to God.
Amen.
What is that? When someone gives you an unexpected gift, favor. How many of you know God is in the favor business? And like I said before, if you're a Christian, favor belongs to you right now. I've decided to live my life off from favor. I've decided to believe that, listen, if there isn't some kind of evidence of favor working in the deal, I don't make the deal. Because favor tells me I don't pay the world's prices. Yeah, right? If I buy a vehicle, if I buy something or whatever, there's got to be some favor in it. Say, well, my goodness, well, you're just arrogant. No, I just believe that we don't pay the world's prices. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Favor. Now, how many of you know that favor already belongs to you?
Yeah.
Meaning, if you're born again, you qualify for God's favor right now. Okay, you have it. You got it. It's just a matter of walking in mercy and truth. Okay, but notice it doesn't just say favor that you'll have. You'll also have good understanding. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Okay, because as God's child, you're his favorite right now.
Yes.
Have you found out that I'm God's favorite yet? Have you realized that? He loves me more than, like, I'm the only one here. Yeah. See, some of you are laughing because you've heard me say this before. That's the attitude of every single believer. The Bible says that you are the apple of his eye. The apple of his eye. You know, that God has a unique ability to take a family that is more than a billion strong on this earth, and he has a way to make every individual feel like the most loved. Yeah, that's why I say that. Of course God loves you and me the same. But we have that belief in his love that says, I'm God's favorite. I'm so highly loved, highly blessed, highly favored, right? Just constantly believing in God's favor. Praise the Lord. I believe in God's favor. God's favor. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But notice good understanding. The term good understanding, it means, are you ready for this, for you note takers? Insight, clarity, here we go, this is what we need, knowledge, good sense, the ability to make the right decision. Hallelujah. Notice these decisions are needed. Good decision making is needed if you're going to partake in favor. Because favor is already here for you. Favor is already provided. And now as you walk in mercy and truth, meaning you are merciful, you're gracious, you're patient, you don't pay somebody back. You don't treat them based on the standard of how they treated you. You're just loving to them. Amen. You know, like Kenneth E. Hagin would say, bless their darling hearts and their stupid heads. Because that's really what happens. People have unrenewed minds, and just bless them. You know, don't be so offended. You know, you guard against offense. You're merciful. You're gracious. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It says, so you'll find good understanding in the sight of God and man. You'll have clarity to know what investment to make. You'll have clarity to know what to buy. You'll have clarity to know what to sell. You'll have clarity and good sense what job to take and not to take. Right? Not only good sense in financial things, but good sense in you know, who to marry if you're not married, right? And if you are married, let me just tell you, you married the right one.
That's right.
You don't have a choice now. No, your choice is to love them. We're not going to get into that right now. Let me just walk out of that one real fast. Hallelujah. Good understanding, good sense. I mean, isn't it helpful to know, to have clarity when you're buying a home?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it wonderful to have clarity on the inside, good understanding when you're purchasing a car?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Or for those of you that might be making a decision about what college to go to, right? Good sense and clarity. Notice, God is pouring out ideas. He's pouring out opportunities for favor to come alive and be active.
Good.
But those ideas, those inventions, those investments, they're getting hijacked, or you can't see them and understand them because you haven't been treating people right. See how people's prosperity can be totally hijacked and hindered because they didn't treat people right. Because favor and good understanding comes from living a life of mercy. I watched this in the life of Dr. Ed Dufresne. I've never met a human being more merciful than him. I mean, he helped people that no one would help. When there was ministers that did some awful thing, or somebody that had ended up on the spiritual junk heap, I never saw anybody more merciful. He would go and he would reach out to those individuals. He'd take them and care for them and purchase them things and get them back on their feet and restore them and be merciful to them.
Amen.
I mean, people that no one would have anything to do with, because what the person did was an atrocious act.
Right.
And people, everyone else, no. But that man, I watched as he constantly, mercifully restored individuals, especially ministers that had fallen on hard times or had done something wrong.
Right.
Yeah. And I saw the favor of God flow to that man on a daily basis. Financial favor. Just favor with churches, notoriety, radio stations, anything that he did business with. There was just favor all over it. Because he always said this. And he said it in services. He'd say it around the lunch table. He said, always err on the side of mercy. He said that to me 1,000 times. He said, just err on the side of mercy. When people won't help that person, you help that person. Glory to God. Why? Favor and good understanding. Glory to God. Amen. You need to make sure that those ideas and opportunities that God is moving your way, that you actually will see them. That you'll have the clarity in your heart to see that's an opportunity. That's something that I want to do. That's something I want to buy. That's something I want to sell. That's something I want to, you know, invest. Or that's something, you know, that's a place I'm to go. That's where I'm supposed to be. Good understanding. But notice it's all clouded and ruined if you're not a person of mercy, graciousness, faithfulness, loyalty, honor. You getting something out of this here today? Do you see how your relationships affect your prosperity? What is it when your debts are all paid off? What is that? That's favor. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. When all of a sudden your vehicles are paid off, favor. Your home is paid off, favor. Praise the Lord. Yeah, obviously, it's not just financial things. When your children are serving God, what is that? Favor. What is that when, you see your children growing, you know, healthy and strong and serving God? Favor. Hallelujah. You know? Praise God. When your employer calls you in and they say, you know what? I have a lot of other people at this company, but there's just something about you that I can trust. What is that? Favor. Hallelujah. You need favor. I should say it this way. You have favor. You just need to make sure you're operating in it. But if you're out there fighting with your spouse, fighting with your family, fighting with your parents, fighting with your children, fighting with your boss, you go into the break room and you go ahead and start, you know, jumping in with everybody and talking about how bad your boss is, you are canceling God's favor on your life. You decide to have a little fight and tell your buddies, or maybe if you're a lady, you tell your mother or whatever about how bad your husband is, or men, you tell your buddies, your dad or whoever about, you know, what a problematic wife you have and all that. What are you doing? You are hindering the favor of God. You are going to cloud that good understanding and that sense of clarity and knowing and those ideas. God is going to just create ideas in your heart, things to do. That's going to create freedom in your life. You got to treat people right. And next week we're going to get more specific on how you treat people. I'm going to go back there, you know, if this is, at least it's in my heart right now. You know, we're going to go to James chapter 3 next week and talk about how to be a low maintenance person. I want to be low maintenance. No one has to maintain a friendship with me. I love you regardless if I get a letter in the mail or not. I'm going to love you regardless of how many phone calls we have or how many cups of coffee we share together. Yes. Not literally share. Yeah. I'm not talking about the two straws in a milkshake type thing. I'm talking about regardless, you know, because if someone has to maintain something with you, no way. Because what if I didn't call that day? See, people that have to maintain. See, the Bible says that the wisdom that's from above is easy to be entreated. You don't have to maintain anything with me.
Amen.
From a personal standpoint, you don't have to maintain a friendship. If I talk to you every day of my life, wonderful. If it goes 6 months and I don't have a personal conversation with you, I still love you just the same. And I so appreciate those relationships that maybe I haven't, you know, had an opportunity to spend any time with, but all of a sudden, a year later, you see somebody, you sit down with them, whatever, and it's like you never missed a step.
Glory to God.
See, amen. That's the kind of relationships we want. Well, we'll talk about that next week. I don't want to steal my thunder now. All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. You're so good. Father, you're so faithful. You're so true.